You're listening to the Overdrive Podcast, Hour 2. Making your lousy commute fun.
Who throws a shoe?
Cardi B at the New York Fashion Show.
I love
Who
it.
Who throws a shoe? Honestly.
How did you have that ready? I don't remember the pre-show meeting talking about Cardi B and Nicki Minaj.
That's awesome.
As if we've ever had a pre-show meeting.
Yeah, that is fake news.
This is Overdrive with Hayes, Noodles, and the O-Dog on TSN 1050.
Danny Green is going to be in studio at 5:30. Newest member of the Raptors, or one of the newest members, coming over from San Antonio. So he's in studio at 5:30. We're looking forward to catching up with him. We'll see if he's actually ever had a conversation with Kawhi Leonard. They've been teammates for years. Has he heard him speak? We'll see. Mike Johnson in studio. Johnny putting in... How many different shows are you on today?
I'm touching all the bases.
Yeah.
I'm at Leafs lunch and you guys, then That's Hockey a little bit later. And
okay.
Car wash.
Yeah, maybe a sports center in there as well. Why not?
You're here. There's a
That's
lot
right.
going on, right? So we're going to get to the Eisenman stuff, the Melnick video. We're going to do our Maple Leaf organizational draft here in a moment, which you're going to be a part of. But I want to play a clip, and I want you to explain what happened on your show earlier today, because you were co-hosting on Leafs Lunch.
Okay.
Something went down when Pierre LeBrun
Oh, my
was on
goodness.
The phone.
Yes.
All right. Can we play the audio?
Please.
Let's hear it, and let's all go around the table and try to figure out what the hell was going on here okay. with Pierre.
Every pay period, that pool is accumulated. The players almost all go always go 50%, so the owners draw out of that escrow pool. What is that?
Are you drilling something? Are you doing renovations?
My chair needs oil.
is it ever?
Are you play that again. Something.
Should we play it
play
one
it
more
from
time?
The beginning.
One more time. All right, play it again.
It stunned
Every
me.
Pay period, that pool is accumulated. The players almost all go always go 50%, so the owners draw out of that escrow pool. What is that?
Are you drilling something? Are you doing renovations?
My chair needs oil.
Well, finally, Gord's like, what's going on here? Because the first one, he almost did the nailer with Deshaun Burke. Like, he fought
I'm
through
sorry,
the question.
Like, from the top again, and I'm going to make an assessment.
Every pay period, that pool is accumulated. The players almost all go always go 50%, so the owners draw out of that escrow pool.
That
what's your
is,
call? Is that a chair moving?
That's something moving.
That
something.
Is beans and wieners for lunch. And you are blowing a hole through your chair. That's what's wrong with this chair. You need to refurbish the material on the chair.
That sounds like it was a mute malfunction. Like that was supposed to be on mute.
Yeah, like he actually was. He thought he was pressing mute. And he pressed volume up.
If he let it dark in his office, he would have blown himself out of the house. He would have shot off his chair like a rocket if he lit a dart in his office. That's the only thing that went down there.
Yeah.
Wow, man.
Wile E. Coyote.
I heard that.
Himself up.
I couldn't. And the visual, because it was on TV, like all of your faces were like, what the hell's going on here?
Like, we have just a noise? Because I know what moving a chair sounds like.
Accumulated.
No. That is a boiler that's unsettled, and you're in trouble.
I'm going to give him the benefit of the doubt.
The first one,
I think
first
it's
one,
a chair.
First like one a chair. You could be a chair. The second one, boy.
Does the second one sound different, Mals?
Are you drilling something? Are you doing some renovations?
My chair.
Cool. What is that?
Are you drilling something?
I
Are
love
you
that Gord goes, what is that?
What like is he, that?
At least.
Oh, man.
You farted, you doubled down at least.
I think it was a chair. I'm willing to give my guy the benefit of the doubt.
It's almost too obvious. It had to be the chair.
Yeah.
It's too much.
The biggest mute malfunction in the history of iPhones.
Sure. Somebody slipped a whoopee cushion under there.
Something went down on the lunch.
Light a dart and you got a human rocket. Blow right through the roof of your house.
Should we play it one more time?
Yeah, for sure.
Every pay period, that pool is accumulated. The players almost all go always go 50%. So the owners draw out of that escrow pool. What is that?
Are you drilling something?
Oh, that was great. Yes. Oh, so good.
He's drilling a hole right through the fabric of his couch. That's what he's drilling.
He had to know that was going to come back.
Oh, it had to, man.
Oh, boy.
This isn't his first rodeo. He knows what's up.
I mean, we have to put together a medley of sound bites that we've had over the last 3 or 4 years. That's going to be in there.
I think that might top Sean Burke. Like, we have the Sean Burke flush. Do you want to hear
that,
too?
Let's hear the flush.
Of course, you are the goaltender coach, and in this part of the world, we are interested in him because he's an Olympian going as the number three goaltender.
Naylor laughing.
I've never heard that before.
You haven't heard that one?
He's interviewing Sean Burke, and Sean Burke, apparently, he explained it to us,
he
right?
He did.
He said he didn't want to be around the coaches. He was in the coaches' room, so he went into the bathroom, and he walked by one of the sensors. The urinals.
Okay.
Which is a reasonable explanation.
It is reasonable, all right. But we called him out on it that he thought he was taking abuse.
Yeah. And listen, he explained it. And maybe to be fair to Pierre, we should shoot him an email again. Although he did explain it on the show. He said it's the chair. He's moving the chair around.
That's not a chair noise.
I'm willing to give him the benefit of the doubt.
Well, get some felt on the bottom of your chair.
Yeah.
Exactly. WD-40, thing.
Whatever.
Something, man. Or send that thing out to the curb because it can't happen anymore.
That's a sloppy Joe and a poutine for lunch.
Or he's had a late night the night before.
Well, he's a Cowboys fan. He was disappointed with the way his team played.
You never know.
Never know.
That's the 3 a.m. wheel coming out.
All right, so we'll get to the Eisman stuff. We're going to get to the Eugene Melnyk, Wayne's World, Mark Borowiecki interview, whatever it was, a little bit later on. But every year, you brought this to our attention the other day. We do the organizational draft. So in the past couple of years, we've done the Maple Leaf organizational draft based on importance to the organization. This year, we're going to put a bit of a different spin on it. First and foremost, we got Johnny in studio. We've only done this with the three of us. We got a four-man panel going on here. So we're going to do two rounds, but it's going to be based on who has the most pressure on them going into the season. Okay, so it can be management, coaching staff, or players. This coincides with Bo Doug coming out today and the new odds. They got the Maple Leafs as the cup favorites. Simmons wrote a piece in The Sun about high expectations, uncharted territory for this team. And we drew names out of a hat to kick off the show. Mike Johnson got the first pick. So we're going to do two rounds. It goes Johnny, then O, then Noodles, then me, and then we'll snake back. So I'll have two picks and so on and so forth. So Johnny, you are on the clock in the Maple Leafs organizational pool based on pressure going into the season.
Well, first off, I'd like to thank and say hello to my fans at the Boston Pizza draft party.
There you go.
Watching
you
go. Pierre LeBrun. My basement. Pierre LeBrun. You know what? I'm going to say the guy with the most pressure is Mike Babcock, the coach, because I think for so many of the players, I feel pretty comfortable with what they can do, and they don't have to do that much more. But if you talk about a team that at times struggled on their own end, goals against wasn't as good as they wanted to be, they leaned on their goalie too much. If he's the best coach in the world, that's the part of the game that you can fix as a coach. You can't teach people how to score. Jeff O'Neill knows how to score. I don't. You can't make me a goal scorer. But you can teach defense, and you can teach system, and you can teach buy-in. He's got to do a better job of that. And when was the last time he won a first-round playoff series?
Long time.
It's like one for his last nine. If he's the best coach in the world, not just the Olympic team. He's got to get through a round of playoffs. So I think Mike Babcock, most pressure.
All right.
At number two, I'm going to go with John Tavares. And it seems fairly simple to say he just has to do what he did in the island all those years and do it in Toronto. But he's one of those guys that stuck his neck out and said, I want to go back home. I want to be in this market. I want to be in a traditional hockey market. He did it. He's got a big ticket. And it's very simple. All eyes are going to be on him. I've said it in the past. I don't think that talking to the media or being afraid of somebody writing an article about your play is that big a deal, because at the end of the day, you play hockey, you go home, you put that stuff aside. But all eyes are going to be on him.
Yeah, it's fair. I'm going to slide off of Johnny's point because I think it's Frederick. I'm going to go a two-pack. So I'm going to go off the...
At number three,
I'm going to go with a two-pack, so I'm going to go off the board a little bit. But it's going to be a combo. Frederik Andersen / Steve Briere, the goaltender coach.
Okay.
And here's my reasoning. Johnny just said, Frederik Andersen in the last couple of years has been one of the most taxed goaltenders in the National Hockey League. And he's arguably been the Leafs' MVP the last couple of years. You know, a couple of rough starts, and you know, you can throw in Matthews and throw in everyone else, but he's been that great. in order for the Leafs to have success and go deep into the playoffs, they need the goaltending at the right time. Freddie had a poor game seven. Everyone looks at Gardner, but Freddie wasn't what he
could
have been.
Two awful goals in the third.
Wasn't good enough. But I believe he's pushed through to being on the cusp, if not an elite goaltender. Mm-hmm. He's right there. So why I brought up Steve Briere is if you're going to manage his minutes and make sure that he's fresh and ready for a long playoff run, it comes to choosing the right backup goaltender and managing their minutes and getting them ready to give good quality starts on the back. So whether it's Garrett Sparks or McElhinney, they got to make sure that they get quality minutes from somebody not Frederik Andersen. You got it from McElhinney last year, and Briere was a big part of that. He's an outstanding goaltender coach. Now, if it's going to be Sparks, you got to make sure that there's not a drop-off.
Do you think either of those guys, if not both, would be claimed on waivers, McElhinney and or Sparks?
I don't think Sparks. There would be a – personally, I think McElhinney, if I was Tampa, I would look at McElhinney because I think Louis Domingue is – I'm not a Louis Domingue fan, personally. I think there's a couple marketplaces that would look at a veteran guy like McElhinney. Relationship is a big part of it. I know Sparks won the AHL Goaltender of the Year last year, but Troy Grosselneck won it the year before. You know, it's...
Who that?
Exactly. Yeah.
Well,
right.
Who is just that saying, guy? I'm just saying, five out of the last 10 AHL Goalie of the Years played in the NHL, five didn't.
Right.
I think Sparks is going to get an opportunity. He's got to seize it.
Okay, so you got Freddie Andersen / Steve Briere, the goaltender coach at three. I got a two-pack of picks here. A couple guys I'm surprised they're on the board. I'm going to go with Austin Matthews at four because he's coming off a playoff series and the first time in his career in Toronto where he actually was getting criticized by everybody across the board. There was nothing to promote that was positive from his seven-game series against Boston. You've got the friction that some people believe could be there with him in Babcock. You've got the fact that even though Tavares is here, he's here to shield Matthews. So he's got to stay healthy. He's got to perform. I think he's still the face of the organization. If he doesn't have the contract signed between now and opening night, he's going into his first contractual season. You know, the year before he's going to hit pay dirt, you would expect. And he might be the captain, you know, at some point. I don't think it's going to happen early in the season. Dubas said that. But I still think more eyes will be on him in terms of how he continues to mature and continues to grow. So the face of the franchise, a team that's expected to compete for a cup, that guy's got pressure on him. My second pick, the first pick of the second round, is Kyle Dubas. And for a number of reasons, he's going to be dealing with his first trade deadline where we expect they're going to be competitive. The past couple of years,
he can hit rewind way before that.
Well,
right now.
Well, no kidding. Yeah. Like, he's got to get things done here with contracts and I was going to get to that in a moment. But ultimately, that's what it comes down to. What's he going to do with Nylander? Eventually, he's got to get to Matthews. Eventually, he's got to get to Marner. Might have to get to Jake Gardner. You know, everyone's got a take on Gardner, but he's a UFA at the end of the year. Yep. How's he going to work with Babcock? You know, I don't know what that relationship's going to be like. I don't think we'll be privy to it, but you never know. And the deadline, if they are truly a cup competitive team at that point, we all know the position of need. Past 2 years, they've went out and got a fourth-line center in Plekanec and a fourth-line center in Brian Boyle. Can you find the Michael Kempney of this year?
I was just going to say, it doesn't necessarily have to be that home run where it's that Shattenkirk or a guy like that. It's the guy that fills the void and does the job.
Absolutely. So I got Matthews with the fourth pick, Dubas, fifth pick, first pick of the second round. Noodles, you are now back on the clock.
I'm going to go with Nazem Kadri because he's had back-to-back 30-goal seasons. He's played a prominent role in a lot of different situations. And the signing of John Tavares has, on paper, taken away some of that role. Now, we don't know where he's going to be slotted. We know where he's going to be slotted, but we don't know the type of minutes he's going to be playing and where. If Babcock's going to use him predominantly in the shutdown situation, penalty kill, that is going to hurt his stats. That is going to hurt his overall play. Now, you've said this too, Brian. He's come out and said the right things. He's a good teammate, all that. Got a long-term contract, but it
he's a competitive guy.
He's a competitive guy, and you don't want him... I don't see him ever being a distraction, but
you got to show him the love. He wants
driving away from the rink some nights. He's probably going to be a little bit frustrated, even though they win 5-2, and he's played 14 minutes and hasn't had a sniff on the score sheet.
I guess in some ways he gets a pass, though, like less pressure because he's got the long-term contract. So financially, it's not really about this. And he's shown he can score when he's given the opportunity. So if he doesn't quite produce the same level, but it's an easy excuse. Like, it's easy to explain it
they
away.
They got to find some ice for him, Johnny. I mean, they can spot him at left wing sometimes.
Yeah, he'll get power play time.
4-on-4 situations. They'll find some ice for him.
Make a great point. It's just I think the pressure comes from putting the brave face on
right
for the next 8 months.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, and let's be honest.
And the next 4 years.
Well, exactly.
I mean, like, if this is the precursor to the next half decade of his hockey life, then... Right.
And what do they keep saying? Up the middle of the ice, they don't stop at the second line center. Like, when right. people, like, look at how this team's built, they don't just say Matthews, Tavares. They say Matthews, Tavares, Kadri.
As they should.
Like, he's got to play a role. He can't take a step back and be like, all right, 15 goals is good enough because these
And maybe part players. Of his role is he's got to take... Kapanen and bring him along and Connor, like, help drive those guys to be better offensive right. players and not just
it's just
energy guys.
I think his responsibility will be a lot different, and that starts with him mentally embracing yeah. that. And that's a tough thing to do when you've had success in certain situations mm-hmm. the last 2 years.
Oh, back on the clock.
I'm going to go with Jake Gardiner. His last game was possibly his worst one as a Toronto Maple Leaf. He was -5. And this town, they seem to want to not forget things. So, you know, fair or unfair, he's got to go out and kind of just reprove himself. And as the organization, they have to figure out going forward if they're going to be a contending championship team. If he's going to be on the ice for 25 minutes a night, he's got to be more responsible and more of a leader and more of a complete player, a competitor. And he's just got to kind of reset and move along from that, because if it starts off ugly, we've yeah. seen in this town how things can get really ugly. So he's under the gun right off the hop.
And playing for money. He's UFA and...
Mm-hmm. All of it.
Yeah.
Johnny, last pick.
I'm going to say Mitch Marner, because I don't think he's going to get signed before the season starts. I think he'll be playing for a contract. I think he believes that he can put up 85 points and command $9 million. And there's some pressure to that. Also, I do believe that the assumption would be that Tavares would play with Marner and that it would work.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, it's very much slotted in, likely Hyman, Tavares, and Marner. And while it looks good on paper and there's no reason why to think it wouldn't work, still has to. So, yeah. You know, he's got lots to play for. And he's the kind of guy, I think, who doesn't mind that pressure. Like, he's willing to bet on himself.
And if you remember his start last year, it was miserable. Miserable. And he had
1-21 or something.
Yeah. He had a turnaround.
And it's a good point about the connection with Tavares, because Tavares isn't going to be the one that moves down the lineup if it doesn't work.
Right.
Like, if Nylander stays with Matthews and they don't move that, and Babcock decides, you know what, Tavares, Marner isn't working, it's not Tavares that's going down to the third
right.
line. It's Marner that's going down. So you're right about that. There you have it. 2 rounds, 8 total picks. Our annual Maple Leafs organizational draft. This year the spin was who has the most pressure on them going into this season. And it went Babcock 1, Tavares 2, Freddie Anderson / the goalie coach Steve Briere 3, Matthews 4, Dubas 5, Kadri 6, Gardner 7, Marner 8. Is there a ninth that's like the most obvious pick? Is it Nylander?
Yes.
Is it
the
Riley?
Wingers for the Toronto Maple Leafs. You've seen in Pittsburgh where they have the high talent down the middle. There's got to be a Connor Sheary that steps up and scores 25 or 30 goals.
That's
a Rust.
Andreas Johnson, Kapanen,
some of them.
Brown.
You can't pay everybody. Everyone can't be a high-priced talent in every position. So someone's got to step up and define themselves as a guy that can get the job done.
I'll throw another one on there. Zaitsev. He had a bad season last year.
That contract is heavy.
I mean, it's not as rich as people think. It's $4 million, isn't it?
But four it's a 7 5,
yeah. But if you're going to play top 4 minutes, you better play like a top four. And that D, at some point, Ron Hainsey is going to look, you know,
his age.
Yeah. Yeah.
And, well, especially if he kills every second of every penalty.
Yeah.
And that, you know, the defensive core on paper at best is an average group. So I love Morgan Riley. I think more of Jake Gardner than people recently, but after that, you want Dermott. You want
that's why I look at Dermott as a guy who's got pressure.
Yeah.
Guy who for this team to be good, I think he's got to be good. He can't regress and have the sophomore. I'm in the NHL.
Yeah,
I'm okay with it. Like, he's got to push up and start taking time away from Hainsey and
sliding
up.
The right side seems weak. on the defensive. Now, if Dermott can play his offside,
get on the offside occasionally.
Yeah,
what I wonder. If by the end of the year, Dermott's up with Riley and
on occasion,
was back.
It wouldn't be the worst thing in the world. And Dubas has said he's bullish on his D, and he wants to. I think Hull's going to get a look. I think
they got
Herrick's
that Ozhiganov kid.
Yeah, there's some guys that are going to push for it, but ultimately Zaitsev is a guy who needs a bounce back year.
What did you make of Steve Yzerman deciding to step down in Tampa? No longer the GM, he's going to be an advisor for the year.
Well, I think for a couple things stood out. One, it's a reminder of how hard it is to be a GM, like just how taxing that job is. It seems fun in the suit, on the charter, wheeling and dealing, but it's a grind. If you want to do it well, it's a grind. Mm-hmm. First thought was, why? Like, that team is on the cusp. You put that team together to be great for 4 or 5 years. Now is when you can kind of like watch the fruits of your labor come through, and he's not going to do it. Why would that be? One, because he wants to get back to his family. I didn't put the Detroit factor right away. I didn't know that he was going back to live in Detroit. But also, they want to lock in Brisebois, who they've worked together well. Continuity for the next 5, 6, however long Brisebois is there. And an eye to the future, make sure they don't lose Brisebois if something else comes available.
So
That he's angling maybe Ken Holland to Seattle, Yzerman to Detroit, as the dominoes fall. But it would not. Listen, that guy is sharp, Steve Yzerman. I mean, there's not been a lot of situations he's miscalculated. So it wouldn't surprise me if he thought that far in advance.
He's done a great job, man. A great job in Tampa.
And he only has one more year. That's the other part I didn't know. I always assume GMs always have a 3-4, whatever. Right. Something. He only has one more year on his contract.
Mm-hmm. So he's had this date in mind. It's just the timing of it caught everybody off guard. 3 days before camp opens.
Yep.
How about that Wayne's World routine out of Ottawa last night with Eugene Melnyk and Mark Borowiecki?
Never seen anything like it.
Oh, what would you have done, Carolina, your prominent player in that organization, if they came up and said, can you do this with the coach?
No,
with the owner.
Peter
Karamanos. The owner.
I would say, I'm not doing it. I'm not in TV. This is not my job.
Yeah.
Put
Borowiecki in a possible.
I think John Forslund to do it.
I think he did it.
As well as he possibly could.
As best as he could. Like, he's not a guy, too. Like, if Johnny and I call those games. Like, Borow is a great person to sit and BS with in the dressing room. Like, he'll talk to you all the time. Even on the ice, sometimes it comes off. You lean over and take a peek at the monitor. Like, he's the type of guy that you really pull for, because he's a glue guy, he's a team guy. But I didn't put the connection as to why he was the chosen one.
He's the Ottawa guy.
I know.
I think for that very reason, he's got the cachet in the community and on the team to not be beat to shreds about doing it. Like, if I would have done that on one of my teams, I would take so much heat from everyone, from every possible angle. It'd be overwhelming.
That would be my concern.
But it won't happen to him, because I think he has that much respect.
He's the type of guy who, I don't know, maybe once out of every 5 games, 4 or 5 games, like, he'll go hard into the boards or get a slap shot in the leg where you're like, his leg's broken, he's done for the year. And he goes and gets looked at and is back out on the ice. Like, he's just one of those guys who you pull for. But I was telling Brian, I respect the fact that Ottawa's trying to mend some fences.
Yeah, communication
the
is good.
In that, I thought it was great, but I just
the way it was presented was strange.
That's the different thing. Having Borow there,
Melnyk is trying to get a message out. He's trying to there were a couple things you could tell he was trying to hammer home, that they're excited, whatever the hell that means. Everyone's excited. They're rebuilding, which I'll give him credit for saying that on the record. A lot of owners are,
as they should,
immune to that word, and they're running from it. And Melnyk in this video was trying to convince people that he's committed to the market and the team's not going anywhere.
Yeah.
Now, whether I'm not convinced I believe that, but he has an obligation, I think, as the owner of a team that isn't selling a lot of tickets.
Mm-hmm.
Everyone knows about the arena problems. They're more than likely not going to be a great team. I mean, everything's going against them from a PR standpoint. A lot of it's self-inflicted, but I'll give him credit. The way it played out was strange and unique and awkward, but he was trying to get a message out.
Yeah.
And if you're a fan, I think you can appreciate that.
Would there have been a better way, though? Would there have been a better, like a town hall where you can not have as scripted questions and have more answers that are organic as opposed to?
Honestly, we're talking about it. Like, they maybe have, like, I'm looking at it. It's got 340,000 views.
But how much of it is mocking views?
Yeah. Probably.
That's the thing. How much of it is, watch this train wreck of a video.
Yeah, if you go to the comments underneath, it says everything you need to know about
what people thought. Yeah, there's 1,300 comments where people are like, you know, the Jordan meme and the guy with the eyes and, you know, the stop
sign. That guy with the eyes, that look like Chris Pronger.
It does look
every
like
time
Pronger.
I see the guy with the old.
Yeah.
Wow. That guy, I think he looks exactly like Chris Pronger.
The blinking guy?
Yeah, yeah, he does.
The blinking guy. Yeah.
He does. It's just some regular guy.
I see. Like, he's not for a good year, I thought it was Chris Pronger because so many hockey people put it out there.
Yeah. Right.
And he's a funny cat, so they could do something like that, but obviously
it is.
Not.
It is. But you're right. But it, I mean, I'm reading it right now. The Ottawa Senators are proud to share their vision for the future of our team.
And the other part of it, though, has slipped in. 10 new players this year, 15 by next year.
I know. That was.
You start doing the backtracking math. If you're a veteran on that team, well, you know by next year there's only eight of us?
That's what they're saying.
What are you going to do with me?
Yeah, right.
Yeah, Boros.
So are we going to have how many returning? Am I one of those, right?
That was a part of it.
As a veteran guy? That's what it runs through my mind.
But what's the point of having training camp, though, if they've already determined who's on the team?
So like, giving 10 spots away.
Yeah. They should have taken calls, and it's like Pierre Dorion with a fake accent calling in. Guy Boucher.
Yeah.
You know, this is Ted from Ottawa. I'm a big fan of the
that
show.
Would have been
first
great
time, long time.
If they took calls.
That would have been outstanding. But they're all planted calls.
Yeah. You think of your coach.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. All right, Johnny. We'll catch you everywhere the rest of the evening.
I'm here to work.
There's Mike Johnson, our TSN hockey analyst. Donaldson in the lineup making his debut tonight. He's going to hit in the five hole. This is tough for Jays fans. You know who's hitting four tonight for the Tribe?
Encarnacion.
Edwin hitting four. The bringer of rain hitting five. So we'll tee that up later in the afternoon. The Jays are in Boston. It sounds like Stroman will be shut down for the year. Tim Kirkchin of ESPN will join us in about an hour. Danny Green, newest Raptor in studio next. Tim Kirkchin will join us in about an hour. ESPN MLB analyst. The Jays are in Boston taking on the Red Sox tonight. Sounds like Marcus Stroman will be shut down for the year, not shockingly. And Josh Donaldson making his debut tonight for the Tribe down at the Trop. So we'll get to that in the next hour. But we've got one of the newest members of the Raptors in studio. I've been looking forward to catching up with this guy for a long time. He's got a podcast out coming over from San Antonio. And again, he's in town. Here is Danny Green joining us around the table. What's up, Danny?
What's up, man? How you guys doing? Thanks for having me.
Yeah, thank you for doing this, man. How much time have you been spending in Toronto since the trade?
I would like to spend more, but I've been in and out. We've had a couple of weeks of, you know, little mini camps in L.A., which was fun. You know, L.A. is really nice, of course, but Toronto's beautiful, too. I was in a week in San Diego working out with Kawhi a little bit. But I found a place. Can't move in until after the weekend, but I've been here a little bit here and there, a couple of days. I'm going to be here all week working out with the team and then all of next week working out the team as well.
A lot of people make a big deal of it, what the American players think of moving up to Canada. Can you touch on that a bit? I mean, is it that big a deal? The money's a little bit different. Restaurants are pretty much the same.
Well, when you have a city like the one, you know, in Toronto, it's really not that big of a difference. It's actually nice. You know, it's a nice change. It's very similar to the bigger cities we have in the States, like in L.A. or New York. Very diverse, but you know, Canadians are just so much nicer people. You know, they're always, you know, saying sorry
a lot.
Yeah, get
it's like they're excuse me, but you know, they show a lot of love. The fans are crazy here. I didn't realize it how big a fan base it was until I started walking through customs as a Raptor, and you know how much they just want to, you know, converse with me, talk to me, and ask me questions, and how they're excited about me being here. And a lot of people, most people I would think, wouldn't even know that I was part of the package deal. They think that, you know, it's just Kawhi, we get Kawhi. But now, you know, a lot of people know that I'm coming too. So it's exciting.
Was Toronto, when you were playing against the Raptors, mm-hmm. was that a place you circled on the calendar as a good stop for road teams?
Oh, of course. Everybody is probably most guys in the NBA favorite city to visit.
Can you
obviously throwing through customs kind of sucks.
Yeah,
but guys, you know, love to enjoy the city. It's very the food, the people,
bars,
you know, the nightlife. It's nice. So you know, every time we come here, every time anybody comes here, they say they have a good time. They look forward to it. They circle it, and you know, it's one of their favorite. It's one of my favorite cities. But you know, definitely most guys I've spoken to, top three cities that they love to visit.
That's what I think we all kind of find surprising. It's like everybody says they love coming here.
I know,
then,
but they don't want to live. They just
or they don't want to play here permanently or be a Raptor. But man, do they love coming here?
Love a party,
just party, yeah.
Love
or whatever.
Didn't Shaq tell us that one time? He was like, "Yeah, Toronto is."
Yeah, Shaq never got to bed on time for curfew playing in Toronto.
Right. Yeah, I mean, listen, it doesn't matter now. You guys are here. You're playing, right?
And we are.
You got a really good team.
For sure.
You're coming from a great operation, obviously, in San Antonio, but the West is loaded with superpowers. The East, with LeBron going West.
For sure.
Kind of feels like the path is open.
It's wide open, definitely. And I said, I was excited. I couldn't be mad about the trade. I couldn't ask for a better situation to be traded to. Closer to home. I said, one of the best teams in the East before the trade. Hopefully even better now, but... it's an always contender on this side of things, and it's at a great city. I was very excited about it. Couldn't be mad about the trade, even though San Antonio is a home for me. But hopefully I can make a home here.
Danny Green in studio. So you come with Kawhi. Does that help the transition that you got someone that you know coming with you?
I've never been traded before. It's my first time, but I think it definitely helps for both of us to have somebody that we've known from previous team to come with. It might make things easier, easier transition. And obviously we got Jeremy with us too. Castleberry is one of the coaches. He's great too. He's one of my guys. So having those two guys here with me would definitely help the transition, help get adjusted, and just feeling more comfortable with this environment, having familiar faces with you.
Have you actually heard Kawhi speak before? Because that's a big part of the
conversation.
Everybody
asks that, but no, yeah. he speaks. If he knows you, he speaks to him when he works out. I worked out with him in San Diego. We talked a little bit. But he does. He does speak. He doesn't like to speak to the media much, but he does speak to his closest friends, family, and his teammates. He's actually a pretty good leader as a young guy who's developed into who he is now. I've seen him develop over the years, and I'm a little older than him, actually quite a bit older than him, but see him develop, become a great player, and also become a better leader. He's communicated a ton more than he when he started out.
And workouts, he looks 100%, obviously coming off a tough season last year.
For sure. We're all interested to see how we all bounce back, but I'm sure he's itching to get on the court. He's been working out for damn near 2 years. Mm-hmm. And, I'm interested to play with him again. It's been a whole year.
Danny Green in studio. You got a podcast, Inside the Green Room. Are you bringing the podcast up to Toronto, or what's the plan?
The plan is to try to bring it wherever I'm at as much as I can. Obviously, basketball is the first focus. I'm trying to do this as long as I can. This is help building a resume for after basketball.
Yeah.
I'm not as good as you guys. I don't think I can do radio. It's hard to entertain people without at them seeing your face or actually seeing a visual. It's hard to do what you guys do, but when it's all said and done, I might jump into that. But the podcast is helping me kind of build that resume. But during the year, I'm trying to do as much as I can. I don't know if it'll do as frequent in the summertime. But, if we can get people on, some speakers, some guest speakers or guests, some other guys want to join or jump on, I'll do as much as I can. I have a little setup to where I can travel with stuff to, do a phone call, where it makes it easier. But, it's fun. It's relaxing as guys may be able to sit back, relax, and talk basketball or life, without having to worry about, criticism, stipulation, whatever it may be, just, feeling kind of like they're at home and just talking basketball or whatever sport it may be.
Do you try to keep it clean? Because I think the fans, when they're listening to a podcast, they like, because everybody knows us three, the way we talk when this light goes off, it's a lot different.
Yeah.
So do you want to keep it clean or just want guys to be themselves?
I want them to be themselves, but also clean. It's kind of like a clean barbershop talk, if I could make an analogy of it. But guys relax, but also don't want to be, want them to talk about whatever they want to talk about. I don't want to be in guys' business. If they don't want to talk about certain things, then they don't have to talk about that. I don't want to be like the media and trying to feed or trying to feel or trying to get information from them. I just want them just feel relaxed and like they're in their living room and just watching the game, whether it's football, baseball, basketball, and just get their perspective on what's going on in their life and kind of how they're adjusting to the professions on and off the court or off the field.
At any point, did you have to go back and edit anything?
I don't do the editing. So
no.
But I'm sure they have. As much as I've done it, I actually don't even listen to my own podcast, but I'm sure they've edited some things. But for the most part, I think they just keep everything. Everything's been pretty clean.
Yeah.
We had Rapoport on, so he might have to edit a couple things.
Yeah,
He speaks his mind. But usually we keep it as is, and people love it. They like the genuine part of it, and then listening to what people, our opinions, our perspective, our insight, whether it's clean or not, I think they enjoy it.
Danny Green of the Raptors in studio. Rappaport's a New York guy. You're a New York guy. You're from Long Island, I believe. 9/11 today. Do you remember where you were when it went down?
I do. I was a freshman in high school, and the city was kind of going crazy. And I'm in Long Island, even though it's not close to the city. Everybody has somebody that works in the city, or has family or friends, or somebody that's in the city. And people were very worried. Teachers were scared. I remember it might have been my history teacher. I think she was crying. They had canceled some of the classes. We shut down, you know, school for a little bit, and we kind of continued on. But it was a rough day, man. And the city was full of smoke and a lot of smells that were not good.
Could you see it out where you were?
You could not see it. No. I saw it on TV, but I said, as you drive, the next year I transferred schools that was closer to the city. And a lot of people from that school at St. Mary's had lost a family member or you know, somebody that was in, you know, one of the buildings or near the area, and they had a big memorial for it, and it was a lot closer to the city, but you can kind of see as you drove near the city, you know, just kind of like a lot of dust and smoke whenever mm-hmm. you went that way.
Danny Green in studio. I think, you know, all the leagues obviously handled it really well, and when you look at the way the NBA has just evolved as an outspoken league and a very mm-hmm. progressive league, not necessarily since 9/11, but using that as a demarcation point. Mm-hmm. The NBA is getting a lot of love compared to the way the NFL handles things, mm-hmm. let alone baseball, the NHL, whatever. Do you guys collectively as players take pride in that? Like how outspoken a lot of players are, you know, how it's social media and the NBA, it's off the charts compared to every other league.
For sure. I think, you know, it's a fraternity. We all try to support each other as much as we can. And, you know, we're all kind of, and we come from similar backgrounds, similar situations, and kind of have a similar, you know, ethnicity or similar, you know, like a makeups. So, you know, we all kind of understand each other's struggles. So that's why we try to, like I said, support each other as much as possible and whenever any type of movement or type of cause or whatever it is, and try to speak out. And we know that a lot of kids, a lot of people look up to us, and it's kind of our duty to use our voice to help the younger generation or help make the world a better place, you know, not just for ourselves, but for them and, like I said, our families.
Right. But, does LeBron help a lot with that, being the kind of king of the county in the league? And
definitely.
All?
I mean, he knows his voice is the biggest. Mm-hmm. So whenever he speaks out about something, people are going to listen. And, you know, he's done a great job over the years of, you know, helping, supporting, and speaking out. And that's a big time making a school, unbelievable. The things he does off the court, I think, is what makes him, you know, the greatest of all. He's definitely the greatest of all time when it comes to doing stuff off the court.
So no burner accounts, though.
No, he don't need that. No. But he said he's amazing with that, with, you know, helping his people, his family, and also building for the youth. There's nobody like it. Yeah. And he's stood out for our league
right.
and for us in many ways.
Danny Green in studio. So, again, you guys are going to be at camp later in the month. Mm-hmm. And the expectations are high. You know, the team won 59 games a year ago.
Yeah, it's tough.
It's tough, man. And now you're in here with Kawhi. You got a new head coach. Yeah. I mean, has Nick Nurse been in contact with you in terms of what he expects out of you and your role with the team? Or
we haven't actually sat down and spoken about it. But we had a little mini camp in L.A. twice, and we worked out this week. So I got a chance to obviously spoke to him when the trade happened and worked out, you know, with a lot of the coaches and, you know, gone through some plays and, you know, been around him enough to know what he expects from everybody, and that's to be a basketball player, and he wants everybody to be effective. Everybody has kind of freedom to do a little bit of, you know, play their own game, and, you know, offensively and defensively, you know, that's my thing. So I'm still waiting to see, you know, how well we're going to operate. I think we have a, you know, great defensive lineup, but you know, we're just kind of getting into the offense and getting guys learning the plays, and myself learning the system. That's one of the part of the reasons why I'm here early, to try to get adapted and adjusted to that and learning his system. But things have gone great, man. Nick has been amazing in helping me adjust into it, making me feel comfortable, making me feel at home within this, you know, this team.
How big do you read into the adjustment? I mean, we were hockey players, and I always said that if you just have smart, talented people, mm-hmm. throw them out there, and generally they should be able
could
to
figure it out. Yeah, they should be able to. Yeah. But it's a little different than that, especially when it's pretty easy once you know the start of the plays. After that, you just play basketball. But
that's right.
It takes some time, at least, you know, probably a week or two to at least learn the system, learn the basics, learn the terminology, offensively and defensively. Then after that, he said, you can throw out some talented guys who are smart, high IQ. A lot of those guys, not saying that they aren't smart, but not everybody can just adapt and adjust that quickly. The game is moving so fast, you kind of want to get it down pat to where you know it like the back of your hand, so that you don't have to think when you're on the court. If you're thinking on the court, it's going to, you know, put you behind at least a step and a half. You know, just trying to be like, oh, what do I do with this play, or what do I do in this defense, or, you know, it's tough. So it's easier, obviously, it's a high IQ guys that know the game, that are talented, they can adapt and adjust faster. But, you know, it takes some time to get that down and make it, you know, second nature, where you don't have to think and just play basketball, which I'm trying to make that easier for me.
Nick Nurse, a rookie head coach, you're going to give him some time before you compare and contrast his style with Pop, right?
Of course.
Got to. You got to give him some time.
Got to.
Because you're coming from maybe the GOAT into a new system with a rookie.
For sure.
Head coach.
But so far, so good, man. I'm loving the system. I'm loving how he's handling things. I'm loving how open-minded he is and trying to search for information from different areas, different places, and different sports. From different coaches. He's always giving us insight and what he's learning and trying to incorporate with us. And, you know, he gives us a chance and opportunity to speak out and tell, you know, what we may have learned or what we have to bring to the table. So, you know, it's a lot of fun, and he's doing a great job at it.
Can you just give us a tiny bit of intel on Pop? All we see is the interviews where it's two words and he's out.
That's yeah, Pop.
There's got to be more to it than that.
No, of course there is, man. Obviously, to the media, he looks like the grumpy old man.
Why does he hate them so much? Is it part of a shtick or what?
A private guy. He doesn't like to share his business, which is fine. You know, like share he really his success, doesn't. Secrets, you know.
Yeah.
But, you know, end of the day, Pop's a great guy. And he still calls me to this day. And, you know, he had a bad incident happened in the year last year, which is tough. Still going through that. I can't imagine, you know, the pain that he's felt, him and his family, and the stuff that he's going through day after day, and just trying to, you know, keep his mind busy. But you know, off the court, he was amazing. You know, he cared about his players, cared about, you know, us as people, and always talked to us about politics, the world, news, what's going on, and let us know the bigger picture than basketball.
Yeah.
And obviously, with, you know, that happened at the end of the season last year, is even bigger for him now to understand how much, you know, family matters, how much, you know, all the other stuff outside of basketball is bigger. But you know, on the court, he's very intense. He's a competitor.
And yeah. He wins.
He does.
Yeah, exactly.
And to the media, he's not going to give you guys the secrets. He's not going to tell you what he's going through his mind or what he's discussing or what offensive plays or defensive philosophies he has. But you know. Off the court, he's great. You can't compare him to anybody. He's very genuine.
We'll get you out of here on this. Danny Green in studio. Have you connected at all with DeMar in L.A.?
I haven't.
Anything about DeMar? I mean, he took this trade really, really hard.
I've heard. I've known we came out the same draft class, I believe. You know, DeMar was very good. He's come a very long way. I'm impressed with how much he's grown as a player as well. He's one of my top favorite guys in the league now to watch and play against. He's tough. He's always competitive, challenged. It's just a guard. You know, I always like to take on that challenge. But I haven't got a chance to recently connect with him. When I do see him, it's always a lot of love and respect, and we chop it up here and there. But I haven't got a chance to, you know, be on that level or see him since the trade.
Mm-hmm.
But he said he took it toughly, but, you know, it's part of the business at the end of the day. I think he's going to fit in great over there. I think he's going to adapt and adjust and feel like it's probably a blessing for him as well. It might be a better situation for him. He'll be competing in the West. He'll be playing, you know, some good teams night in, night out.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, someday I'm sure he'll be back and probably be a Raptor at some point in his career again.
Yeah, I would think so.
But, you know, the trades happen. You
know,
sometimes you can't control it. Yep. I didn't know what was going on. But, you know, he's still in a pretty good situation.
Danny Green in studio. The podcast is inside the green room. He's in town. He's got his place in a few days, so you'll be totally locked in as a Torontonian.
Yes, sir.
And camp later in the month. We're looking forward to having you in town permanently, man. It was great to have you in studio.
Thanks,
Thank you, man.
I appreciate you guys having me.
There he is. Danny Green, one of the newest members of the Raptors in studio. New friend of the show. We'll be bothering you during the season.
I'm all for it, man.
We got to go on the pod.
Yeah, that's exactly what has to happen.
For sure.
I'm sure that's what he's dying to have, us three idiots on his podcast. Tim Kirkchin in the next hour, back into some NHL news and notes. Overdrive continues on the TSN app. Thanks again to Danny Green for joining us in studio. Great interview. Good to have him in town.
Fantastic interview.
Yeah.
We got to get him on the
friend
show.
Friend of
the
show.
The hour.
Outstanding. Yeah.
And we're going on his pod.
No, we're not.
I think we go on his
pod. He
doesn't
care.
0% chance he invites us on his podcast. But we will bother him throughout the season if we can get him on. He was a great interview. Tim Kirkchin of ESPN on what we can expect out of Donaldson, Stroman, and the Jays. And back into some NHL news with Melnick, Yzerman, the Leafs.
What happened on Pierre LeBrun's chair?
Yes.
Yeah, we got to circle back on that.
We might circle back.
Could we cold call him, do you think?
We might have to, yes.
Might have to just...
Final hour up next. Yeah. All right? Overdrive continues, TSN 1050.